Hello, who's anonymous? Hello. I just heard that anonymous joined the call. Can you please identify yourself? Good morning, Nicole.
Happy birthday, Sasha.
It my birthday? Good morning, ladies. We're all calling in at the same time.
Good morning.
How are you?
Happy birthday, Sasha.
Thank you, Francis.
Happy birthday, Sasha.
Thank you, Jess. Thank you, Nicole. I appreciate it. I can't believe it. It's weird. Like one day out of the year, it's like, wow, this is a day I was actually popped out and came to the world. Right?
Yeah,
At least that's what's going through my head. We're just waiting for Brandy and Olga. And I'll let Jess and Nicole know that it's my favorite kind of weather. It's 100% snow and like 15 degrees. And I was going to go snowshoeing with a friend and her dog. And now I can't because it's too damn cold. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Olga.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Wow, we have everyone together. It felt so lonely last week. Frances was celebrating her birthday, and Brandy was in a training, and Olga was in a, was it a work training?
Yeah, it was actually a sales class.
Sales class.
Cold
Okay.
calling.
Oh, fun. Okay, so speaking of cold, I'm just kidding. Hold on one second. All right, who would like to take the opportunity to settle us in and ground us this morning before our call?
I'll do it. It's Brandy.
Thanks, Brandy. Brandy, did you do it last week?
Yeah, I did.
Is there anyone else that would like to? I'm not, I mean, I'd love for you to do it, but I really want to spread the love and the wealth, and maybe somebody who wasn't on the call last week or someone that hasn't had yet had an opportunity, but I think this is week five, so maybe one
I can
person.
do it. This is Frances.
Frances, have you done
I
this
can
yet?
do it. I
I know
haven't.
you can. You do it every day in your classes.
All
Okay.
right.
Thank you, Frances.
Yeah. Go ahead and sit nice and tall. Close your eyes. Draw the shoulders back and down. Start to connect into the sits bones and breathe into the space that's connected to the earth below. Just allow your breath to start off soft and just watch the quality here. Feel the rib cage expand as you breathe in and let it fall as you exhale. You're going to notice how the breath starts to calm the mind. Noticing the release in the body as you breathe a little deeper. Begin to slow down your breath here. So perhaps counting from one to six as you inhale. Then notice the pause at the top and then counting backwards from six to one as you exhale. And notice the pause at the bottom of your exhale, so keep this going. Allowing your focus just to be on your breath here. start to bring awareness to your spine and feel your spine get even taller. You breathe in more length, perhaps even noticing a bright white light going all the way down from the crown of your head through your tailbone, really grounding you into the earth below. As you're ready, begin to blink your eyes open and take an audible exhale here, returning back to the space.
Thank you, Frances. You all do such an amazing job of the grounding piece, and that's, you know, a tool that you already own that will really bring your clients present. So thank you. Thank you so much. So welcome, everyone. We will go around the group, and please keep it to about 90 seconds max. And if you'd like to, please share one win. One of the action challenges is part of your homework on page 6 of the yoga supplement. And then a third piece that I'm adding in, has your intention changed since you began the program? Who would like to jump in first?
This is Jess. I'll go.
Thank you, Jess.
Yes, good morning. My challenge from, my win from this week was trying a new approach with my sister. Without getting into details, I chose not to go to her birthday party, realizing that I was going mainly out of obligation or what her friends would think, and I found an alternate way to celebrate with her, but at the same time take care of myself, and that was huge for me. My challenge was dealing with a lot of just emotion and also disconnection that's come up in the last week related to things from my childhood, and I had a big release related to that last night and this morning, and I'm feeling much more calm, much more mellow and grounded than I felt in a long time. But it was really challenging the last week to be kind of stuck in my head and disassociated with my body for off and on a good part of the week. And my action challenge is, let me flip to the page. Sorry.
And just to clarify, my third piece, you know, has your intention changed, can really tie in for everyone, tie in to one of the action challenges. So whichever one speaks to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's perfect because my intention has shifted slightly. And so I'll go with the what is your intention in reading this workbook. And I think my intention has really often, not that my goals aren't still important to me, but my primary intention is to really digest and process and allow these tools and these learnings for myself first and foremost.
That's awesome. And does that typically go against your MO by softening, digesting, and processing?
Well, I feel like I'm always processing, but I feel like I'm oftentimes polarized between relaxing and working really hard, and normally I'm thinking, how can I improve from this, and how can I use this to help others, and it's more outward driven towards others and towards others' help, but also approval, instead of allowing time for incubation and just enjoyment for myself. So I want to enjoy myself more in the remaining time of this class.
And then you're going to stop enjoying yourself?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Just
better.
Checking. I hope not.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for stepping in, Jess. Who wants to go next?
This is Nicole.
Thank you.
And Jeff and I are not in the same room. So hi, Jeff.
You're severed at the hip today.
No, I miss
but not
Jeff.
At the heart.
I'll go with my challenge first, only because That's why I haven't seen Jess. I had my back go out about 3 or 4 days ago, and I'm being very challenged, and I know exactly what it's about. So thank you, Universe, for showing me that I'm overdoing it all. And my big win is now I'm nurturing myself and trying to take care of myself instead of pushing. Like Jess, we're very, very similar. I push and I want to serve, and then I don't leave any time for myself. And so having my back go out with a big hello flag, asking my body to slow down. So I'm grateful and in a little bit of pain at the same time. My action challenge, I think I'm going to also pick what is your intention in reading this workbook. And, you know, what Jess said is actually quite similar to what I was going to say. She just talked about incubation. And my word that came to mind was integration, which was integrating the material in a way that's not, like, studious and memorizing and being type A about it and pushing it, but really reading it, applying it. I've been actually applying it to my own personal relationship with my boyfriend, who I mentioned last week, who I got coached about, which was really fascinating because the material was much about two people in relationship this week. And so I really looked at that in comparison to my own relationship that I'm going through. And so it just had a much more resonant tone to it. And so I appreciated that. So that's my intention.
That's awesome. Yeah, when you can apply it to a real live situation, it gives it its sort of the meat to the material that we're using to actually put it into an experiential situation. So thank you for sharing. Who would like to go next?
This is Olga. I'll go next. The win for me has been connecting with my daughter, and we just have a really beautiful relationship, and I just feel blessed and grateful every day, you know, to have her in my life. And a challenge, and this comes from listening to the call last week, replacing busy with abundance. So
who said that?
Somebody said that. And, I don't remember who it was, but that kind of, that really, fell into place, in my heart. And so that's been my challenge. And let's say the word abundance doesn't come up, then I could say, my week has been really full, and that it's full because I'm learning, I'm growing, and trying to figure out to say yes or no, depending on the situation. And as far as the action challenge, what is my intention to reading the workbook? I mean, just like Jess and Nicole mentioned, it is about integrating this material with yoga, but how you were going to apply it, as coaching, but, more so with family and, in my business. Oh, the other challenge, and I keep on saying this, when I get nervous, I say you know a lot, and I listen to my call, and I must have said 20 times, and so I just wanted to bring that up. So that's another challenge I had. So anyway, integrating this material with my yoga clients, with my insurance clients, and my family.
Awesome. My filler word, we call filler words in teacher training, is when there's that silence. And so just noticing that your filler phrase might be it's a constant journey. So I think we all have those phrases that we say in the gaps in between our conversation. But just taking a deep breath and knowing that pausing is okay,
mm-hmm.
whether we're on a coaching call or whether we're teaching to a room full of yogis. being comfortable with silence is a gift. Mm-hmm. Would you do me a favor and share, Olga, with the group how this program affected your training that you were in? Like you shared with me how some of the tools showed up for you, just briefly.
The course was about one-on-one coaching and one-on-one calling and selling. The listening part of obviously was there. Open-ended questions was there. You know, really listening to the needs of the client. All those skills that were being taught in coaching definitely go with selling. Those are the two that resonate from the workshop.
That's great. I love hearing how it integrates into your life. And look, these coaching calls that we're doing live here are working for you. So I love for Nicole, for you, and Brandy. I mean, just the support is really great. Okay, Francis or Brandy, who's next?
This is Francis. I can go.
Thanks. Francis, we lost you. Are you there?
Oh, can you hear me? My phone's being weird today.
How rude. Now I can hear you.
Okay. So my challenge this week has just been a lot of thoughts floating through my head, and I don't know if it's just been an emotional time, like what Jess was saying, how she was really emotional. Like, it's just been a lot of emotion going through, a lot of thoughts and things, just what I had, jumble of emotions and stuff. But I guess specifically financial things have been showing up, and it's been kind of a challenge for me lately. But the win, which is tied into that, is that I've been able to stay pretty calm through it. So whereas normally I probably would have freaked out a little bit more, I haven't done that. I've been able to be more level-headed and even plan some stuff around it. So that's been good. And then my intention for this program, I don't really think I entered, like I knew I wanted to do it, but I didn't really enter with specific expectations. But the more that we've been going through the material, it's just become even more exciting than it was when we started. And I think I really do want to do something with it now, whereas before it was like, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But, I'm excited to see what else there is moving forward.
Yay. There's so much. There's so, so much. So I'm curious, what do you attribute your calm state of mind in the midst of emotional and financial struggle this week? What tools did you use?
I think a lot of it was being able to connect to that space of centeredness, which, I don't know, I guess it's been a practice, and it's kind of tied into my 30-day goal, which Nicole knows about and Sasha, you kind of know about, but that I wanted to bring Reiki back into practice. So that's been happening, and I think that practice has been really helping me stay grounded and centered, and so that's been really nice to be able to tap into.
That's great. All of these things, or I should rephrase that, none of these things are random. They're synchronistic, and I'll use Nicole's back going out. I mean, the universe is going to send us a message, and if we don't listen, it's going to turn up the volume quite a bit. So I just totally believe that the experiences that we have are the experiences that we're meant to be having for a bigger reason. Sometimes we know it at the time, and sometimes it doesn't show up until later. But just becoming aware of what's happening, and again, in a somatic way, really allows things to land and things to shift. So thanks for sharing, Francis. Brandy, what's up with you?
Hi, everyone. So, let's see, a win
for me is that I was away and that my landing home was smooth, and that's always could be tricky, coming from retreat and then landing home. So it's been a smooth ride. And then a challenge for me, I guess, is coming home and seeing the busyness of my days, and just trying to have faith that I could just do this, do everything that I'm doing. That's a challenge. It's abundance, like the word everyone using, the abundance in my life. And the action challenge that I'm looking at is I was also just feeling like about being the teacher in the yoga class. So what do you want to do to get out of this class? So from a teacher's perspective is just to really show up and share my authentic practice and experience of my practice with my students and just be an example of really what it is to have this practice integrated into your life. So.
And how does that make you feel when you show up in that way to your students?
It makes me feel very authentic, and that it's just like a really true message of the gift, the practice through discipline. You know, just really setting a very authentic example of the practice. Mm-hmm. So it makes me feel very, I guess, strong and clear.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing, everyone. I love hearing about how your week is going. And I just wanted to check in before we dive into our learning for today. Did everyone receive the document I sent, the coach reporting form? Or did somebody not receive it? When am I going to learn how to say that correctly? Everyone received it? Okay, and on there, it's a little bit unclear. I think in the first class notes, I had 10 sessions that are required, and on that document, it has 20, because going forward after this program, it is 20. So don't feel overwhelmed, like, what, 20? We just want you to practice and get the hang of using these principles, using the simple coaching model that you're learning about. So what that basically is every time you coach, whether you coach on this call, whether you coach with your buddy, whether you coach with your dog or your plant or whatever, you know, or any other friends, colleagues, just record it. And when we're done with the 12 weeks, at least 10, if you want to do more, fine. Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Any questions on that piece?
Great.
Sasha, this is Nicole.
Yes.
So you're just saying, so obviously include the coach session that we did. Does that include being an observer or when you're actually the coach?
When you're actually the coach.
Okay.
So you'll each probably get to coach two times, because the first 2 weeks I did them. So 10 weeks, everybody coaches 2 times. So you, either with your buddies or any of the other examples that I mentioned, you're going to be practicing 8 additional times on your own and just recording it, just documenting whatever it asks for there. Like I said, it's an adult learning environment. There is no pass or fail in this course, but we, as in the Coach Training Alliance, and the International Coach Federation are bound by keeping people accountable for the credentials that they're receiving. And so it's our job to just be sure that everyone's got a grasp of what you're learning in the 12 weeks. And to be honest, the 5 of you already do, but it's just something that we take a look at. Okay?
Sasha, this is Olga. I have a question. Does that mean that
the people that we're coaching have to initial the sheet, or are we just writing down?
No, this is just for us. This is just between you and I. No, I trust you. I totally trust that what you're writing is authentic. So it's just showing me and showing us that you've actually put the work in to practice being a coach, a mentor coach.
Okay.
Any other questions about that? Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to dive in, talking about hearing the coachable moments and discerning the best ways to further the coaching process. Before we do go into that, did anyone have any questions on the reading material from last week, the homework? We'll be getting into a lot of it, but I'd just like to check in to see if anything is standing out that needs some clarification. Okay. Then let's turn to page 98, please. And we're just going to review briefly determining the useful intervention moments. So, Olga, if you could just read the first paragraph under number 2, determine useful intervention moments.
Okay. The intervention moment is the engagement to explore a specific aspect at the center of the client's topic. It is often the aha of the mentor coach about some aspect needing illumination or mutual exploration. Use intuition about what...
No, that's okay. Good. That's good. Yeah, just the paragraph. And then just read the last paragraph after D.
Okay. Coaching interventions are the essence of the session. Several potential approaches can be taken with a client to discover how the client may shift in order to take action. Indications for these interventions may come in subtle clues such as the following.
That's okay, and that's fine because we went over this last week. So it's just a reminder to bring back this tool number 2, determining useful intervention moments. So a coachable moment is the coach's aha, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're having a conversation with our clients, and they're saying something that's, we're using all of our tools, our intuition, and listening skills and asking powerful questions, and all of a sudden we have an aha moment. So we talked briefly last week about the ability to interrupt when you have this aha moment. So it's really okay for either the coach to interrupt the client or the client to interrupt the coach when they're having a moment such as that, because it can happen on either side. But the really important thing is that you establish that agreement at the beginning. Before you dive into your coaching relationship, there's going to be some things that you're going to go over and go through, and this is one of them, that it is okay to interrupt when you're having these moments. All right, and the 4 basic rules of engagement when you do decide that it's the moment to interrupt are super important. You want it's clarity, brevity, simplicity, and specificity. So you want to be clear, brief, simple, and specific when you interrupt. So if you're using your intuition and you're having an aha moment, that doesn't mean that you're taking this client off on a totally different place. It's the language that they've shared. It's the energy that you're feeling and just the context that's bringing you to this place. So you want to check in, and you might be incorrect. You know, you want to check in, and we talked about how to use that language. Is it okay if I'm having an aha moment, or I'm having a hit here? Is it okay if I check in with you? That gives you sort of the segue into that. So really, these moments, when the coach has this aha is, it's basically the essence of the session. And that's where your skills, your wisdom, your experience, your ability to listen come into play. What questions?
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Perfect. We're on the same page.
You said clarity, brevity, simplicity. What was the fourth one?
Specificity, being specific. You're welcome. Okay. Does anyone have any questions, comments, brilliant insights on determining useful intervention moments or hearing the coachable moments? Okay, great. Having said that, let's turn to page 113. And this whole section in here, page 113 to 124, about seizing the coachable agenda and talking about the 9 subtle cues. And I love this because it gives so many examples for the clues. So let's start with the last paragraph on page 113, just right above the 9 subtle cues. Brandy, would you read that, the coach's job?
The coach's job is to notice these potential roads to explore and initiate a timely investigation into one or several as needed and as time allows. Note all coachable moments are equal in importance. Begin by
not all.
Not all. Oh, sorry. Not all.
That's okay. Makes a difference.
Coachable moments are equal in importance. Begin by probing about the most useful or the most urgent points. To be a masterful coach, seize the best one and explore that first.
So that sounds kind of challenging to me. How about to you guys? Like you have, maybe you have 2 or 3 coachable moments. How do you decide which one you're going to explore?
I guess you
have. And we'll just, go ahead.
What is the most important for them to work on?
Mm-hmm. Great. What's another way to check in with them? What's another powerful question that you can ask them? There are many. We're just sort of brainstorming here to give you guys some ideas. Could you ask them, can you place these in terms of priority? Like what's most important to you? What do you want coaching around today? Which one? So it's an exploration process, all right? And the reason we're doing that and bringing note and bringing light to the coachable moments is to help the client shift their perspective in relating to their agenda. I just wanted to go over that and just make sure everyone is clear on this piece because it is they're all important points, but this is a really powerful shift in the coaching collaboration. Any questions so far? Okay, Nicole, would you begin reading the 9 subtle cues? Paragraph right below, please.
Sure. Your client is continuously providing you with clues on how to coach them. That's why it's so important to listen closely and stay present with your client during sessions. These clues are often subtle comments that sound different from the other things said, almost as if they are highlighted in your awareness. Coachable moments present themselves as opportunities for powerful coaching. The first clues appear in the agenda itself, and then more clues emerge as the session progresses. Here are 9 types. Oh,
I'm sorry, there's such a delay with this technology. Go ahead and read through all nine.
Great. Here are nine types of subtle clues to the coachable moment. One, offbeat or repeated words and phrases. Two, missing pieces in the story. Three, strong or weak energy. Four, inconsistent statements. Five, nervous laughter or sighs. Six, sudden, strong, or contradictory emotions. Seven, assumptions, interpretations, limited perspectives. Eight, inflation of roles. And nine, throwaway comments.
Great, thank you. And so since you're the first one to go, Nicole, I'm going to throw this at you because everyone's going to get a chance. Which one speaks to you? And can you share a little bit about your understanding and maybe how that could parallel working with a student on the mat, a yoga student on the mat?
The first one that speaks to me is number five, nervous laughter or sighs, because I personally do that. And I know for me, nervous laughter is when I'm uncomfortable. And so for me, it's easier to just laugh it off. And really, it's an emotional stick point for me. So I've done that actually in classes where I've been uncomfortable about something that maybe I didn't have words at that point in class and I meant to say something or I screwed up, and then I nervously laugh it off. And so I know I personally do it when I'm teaching. And this was when I first started teaching. I catch myself. I do it a lot less now. But I also noticed it, too, in classes with students. I had I think I was talking about a student, maybe with you guys or maybe with somebody else, but I had a brand-new yogi who'd never come to yoga before come to my class recently, to my 2-3 class. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm really excited. And he was laughing the whole time, but I could tell he was super nervous to be there. And so I just really wanted to make him calm because I recognized that in myself right away, that he was actually really nervous to be there, but he was trying to make light of the situation. And so I just made him really comfortable on it, and I tried to, you know, just let him feel like he was at ease.
That's great, and I'm sure you did an amazing job in your role and made him feel great, especially coming from your own personal experience. And how could you use a personal experience like this in collaboration with your client if you're hearing nervous laughter? What might be a powerful question or a way to explore that with your client?
I think something that comes to mind is how does this make you feel? And just saying, you know, I can hear that you're laughing. Does this make you feel comfortable? I know that's what somebody said to me at one point. They said, when you laugh, are you actually laughing because you think it's funny, or are you laughing because you're nervous?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that is the question. Are you laughing because this is funny to you, or do you feel actually nervous around this issue or uncomfortable around this issue?
And here's a place where we as coaches can get, it's the opportunity to become a little nervous ourselves about how to manage it, right? If someone else is nervous, how do we use our tools of strength and grounding and centering and powerful questions and listening and holding the safe space so that our client is able to feel our support and our nurturance and the safety of the relationship to be able to dive into a place that maybe they're, well, obviously uncomfortable with. So it's really important when you see a clue like this to not sort of wash over it. Okay, I would dive in. And the client will let you know where their comfort level lies, and there's no need to push or force. It's simply exploration. Okay? Those are great examples. Any questions on that clue? Okay. Who would like
to go next, pick any one of the nine except number five, and share as Nicole shared, on the mat and off.
This is Olga. I'll dive in. Number three resonated with me. I mostly teach level one as a substitute teacher. And there's so many levels of new people in level one when they come in. And I always bring up going into child's pose at any time that, you know, you're catching up with the breath or needing to rest. And many times new people want to do what everybody else is doing, and they're looking around. And so I mentioned that, and I also mentioned letting this be your own practice, not my own or not your neighbor's. And what else do I mention? You know, just connecting to the breath, you know, and really paying a lot of attention to filling up, you know, from the top of the clavicle all the way down to the pelvic diaphragm, and exhaling, you know, from the pelvic diaphragm, you know, all the way up. And so that's what I bring on that.
Wonderful. And how would you use those strengths that you already have to work with a client if you're noticing or feeling strong or weak energy in your collaboration?
Right. I think that directly, figuring out, right, if the energy is very, very strong, I mean, if it's excitement, then finding out what that excitement is about and, you know, and sharing that. The other one, however, if it's weak, finding out, asking questions with regard to feelings and needs. And, you know, I think that when we ask questions with feelings and needs, then people can tap into what's really going on, and then they're able to open up and share. So sometimes you have to guess at the feelings, you know, and then guess at the needs, and if you know, if you're not sure.
And if you're not sure, just simply ask. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the client will show up and they will tell you exactly who they are right from the beginning. Right? They're going to do their best to show you who they are in every interaction until they start making shifts. So if it's nervous laughter, if it's strong or weak energy, these are habits that they have in situations. And it's our job, again, as mentor coaches, to allow them the ability to turn that focus inward and take a look and it's like, oh, what's that about? Just get curious. What is that about, without asking why, without attacking, without being aggressive, without making them wrong, just in the ways and the skills and the tools that you're learning. Great. Thanks, Olga.
Thank you.
Who's going next?
I'll go. This is Frances.
Thanks, Frances.
So it has to be something different than what has been said already?
I would prefer, but if there's something that's speaking to you, that you go for it.
Okay. I'll go with something different. Number six was another one that stood out to me, the sudden, strong, or contradictory emotions. And on the mat, I guess I most see it because I teach the hot yoga style as well. You see it a lot. Will just get emotional on their mats, and, you know, it's because it's pretty hot in there, so they'll either start walking out of the room, or they'll, like, lay down on their mat, get up, lay down, get up, lay down, which as instructors, we look at that and we're like, that makes it worse, just lay down. But, you know, they want to keep practicing and stuff, even if they're feeling overheated and all that. So I think that just, it kind of ties in with the energetic piece, just noticing that energetic shift in their practice as the class goes on. And you can definitely see the emotion tied to it in their faces and their expressions.
So as an instructor, just, you know, monitoring that while you're teaching the class and just making sure that they're stable and okay still. And then working with a client, I guess just really it comes with the intuitive piece too, and just noticing and sensing that something is showing up, and taking advantage of that opportunity to perhaps bring in an aha moment, or you know, touch on something that maybe they haven't quite connected with yet.
Exactly. That's just a great example. And if you guys will turn to page 120, I love what it says here. Under that clue is strong emotions are often just a discharge of energy that precedes a time of meaningful action. So usually something's going to happen after that energy is released. And there's some tools here that they share, you know, to slightly slow your voice, show understanding and compassion, keep your boundaries. So you want to limit your empathetic response, encourage your client to let their emotions move, and give them time and space to feel through their emotions. So I think they're all really important, but I feel like this one is one of the most important, because you're dealing with the emotions, and without losing your boundaries, finding a way through these tools that are bullet pointed here to allow the client to feel safe and be able to dive in a bit more. Awesome. Thank you, Frances. Mm-hmm. Who's next?
This is Jess. I'll go.
Thanks.
So the one that really speaks to me, they all speak to me, but number 7 really speaks to me about assumptions, interpretations, limited perspectives. I also teach a lot of beginners, and am always encouraging my friends to go to yoga. And a lot of them say, especially the males, well, I'm not flexible. I can't do yoga. So that's one of the assumptions or interpretations of yoga that I find really common. I'm sure everyone does. And so I try to just understand where that comes from. And a lot of times it's because the image of yoga is someone who can put their foot behind their head. And so we talk a little bit more about learning how to relate to your body in a different way, or even just giving your body space so your mind and body can interact together.
Love it. And how would you work with a client in this way?
I guess I would say something like I would say to a student who says, or a person who says, well, I can't do yoga because I'm flexible, I'd say, tell me more about what gave you that impression, or tell me more about why that feels true for you, or, you know, just ask them more questions about what their assumption is, because then normally there's some sort of aha moment after they explain where they're coming from.
Yeah. Could be an aha moment on both parts, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to tie it in, is that when that moment happens, you know, it usually happens with the coach, and then you explore it with the client, and then they sort of have an aha moment, and then you rephrase their aha moment as a shift
mm-hmm.
in perspective that enables
mm-hmm.
them to move and change.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so awesome. Great. Thank you. Brandy, do you want to
yes.
share one that speaks to you?
Sure. I'll go with throw away comments. Fine.
Okay.
And the way that I see this is often the client will not be aware that they're just constantly, no, I can't do this. No, I'm not strong enough. No, I don't have the ability. Same thing, similar to what Jess was saying, that, you know, people aren't flexible, but they're often putting themselves down so often that they don't realize it, so I bring their awareness into how often they are just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, I guess, would be a throwaway comment. And how would I turn that into a coachable moment? Is that the next thing you want me to talk about?
Just how you would parallel that with how you would choose to use this clue, what you would do with it while you're working on the mat with a yoga student and off the mat with a client.
So I guess very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I would bring it to their awareness. So I would pause and then repeat the way they are speaking to themselves, so bring it to their awareness and say, you know, just bring it to their awareness how often they are putting themselves down, and see if we could bring a shift around that or explore it further and bring it to their awareness and work on changing that habit that they developed maybe and they're not aware of.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things that you just sort of tailed off there, but things that they're not aware of. We all have our patterns and our habits, and I think as yogis we're more conscious, but I'm not creating separation between yogis and people that don't have a spiritual practice, but I do believe that there's a deeper consciousness and a deeper awareness around people that have a mindfulness-based practice, but just bringing to someone's attention things that they're completely unaware that they do unconsciously is a huge aha moment. And whether or not people choose to get defensive about it, or they don't understand why they do it, or it's a defense mechanism, I mean, there's so many things it can be. But as coaches, again, we just hold the space for the client to explore and how this serves or does not serve them in furthering their agenda. Okay. Is that landed with everyone? We good on this section? Okay.
You know,
Oh, go ahead. Please. There's a little bit of a delay. Sorry.
It's around the empathetic piece where we, what number was that? We just reviewed it. Right, when sudden, strong, or contradictory emotion, and it says, as the client, as the coach, to limit our empathetic response. So that just means, I guess, for us to be steady in order for them to just, like, hold again that space for the client to have their experience, but to really make it, to show them that we are steady as a support, like not to get engaged in their discharge of release. Is that it?
You couldn't have said it any more brilliantly. And I think what helps is, like, how do you choose to engage with your student on the mat when they're getting all wrapped up in your emotion and you're trying to hold this space for, and it's a little bit different if you're holding a space for more than one person in the class versus the one-on-one of the coaching, but being mindful to recognize and, you know, let that person know that you're there supporting them, but to not be engaged fully where you disconnect from the bigger agenda or the entire class. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's an important point because there's so many breakdowns when we're dealing with this type of work. So I guess that part of really protecting and keeping our boundaries is such a, for me, an important place, you know, not to... Because it's easy when someone's breaking down to really feel that breakdown.
Right. And just realizing that a breakdown, this is what I say about breakdowns. We have to have a breakdown before we have a breakthrough. That's just my way of saying it. But, and you guys can use that one too. I'm just kidding. So... to not be fearful of emotion. Just because in the very beginning we spoke about the differences between therapy and coaching and dealing with past trauma and emotion. Emotion is part of who we are. You know, if we're always feeling great, we miss the other half of the human experience. You know, so holding that client in a whole and complete way. So whether they bring tears or emotion to your conversation and your coaching relationship, it's part of how they're showing up in that moment. And having the tools and principles and skills and strength to hold that just as well, as equally well, as you hold space for your clients in your classes is a brilliant tool to have. And magical things will happen from that space because the client, the student, will figure it out for themselves.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's turn about 5 or 6 minutes here before we get to the top of the hour where Brandy will be coaching Francis and Nicole being the observer, in case you guys weren't aware of that. Let's turn to page 67. And I'm just going to bring out a few pieces here. I really love the parallels to yoga. So page 67, active versus passive. The paragraph that starts when you take responsibility. Jess, would you read that one, please? Page 67.
Sure. When you take responsibility, you activate your capacity for change. Once you understand the major internal themes, you can begin to resolve the conflicts. That may include releasing long-held anger or resentments. When you have completed some of this house cleaning, you can then focus on creating new and different feelings, responses, and behaviors. The clearer you become about your old stories, the more freedom you have to reframe your life and reinterpret the events in ways that empower instead of cripple you.
So how does that manifest for you in the studio? What's the parallel to yoga here?
I feel like the parallel is alignment. I feel like if your body isn't aligned and you haven't done kind of the house cleaning of making sure, for instance, that your front knee is tracking in line with your second toe and warrior two, you're going to be tweaking out your knee. You're going to be kind of stuck in that same pattern. At YogaWorks, we talk about it as the laws of compensation. You're going to continue to be flexible where you're flexible and overextend in that area, and you're going to continue to be tight in the areas that are already tight.
Nice. So coming back to the alignment piece and starting from that foundation and building from there. I love that. Thank you. Page 69. Nicole, would you take the third paragraph down, developing empathy?
Sure. Developing empathy with another is predicated on first doing so with yourself. If you're not genuinely aware of how you are experiencing the world, you cannot become accurately aware of another person's perspective. Empathy is a way of listening to yourself or to another person with resonance of an entire experience of feeling, thinking, perceiving, and behaving.
And so same thing, I'm going to challenge you with bringing in a parallel to yoga with this information of empathy.
I think sometimes in classes when I see someone going through something, I might offer a personal experience or a personal reflection so that that person feels comfortable in the classroom without outrightly saying, this is for you, that just telling a story or maybe bringing in a nice quote or talking about my feelings so that they can also empathize with me. And so I'm listening to myself and also listening to their experience.
That's great. So it's keeping yourself on the same level with your students and having a shared experience and then giving them permission when you show up in that way and showing up in a vulnerable way that they have permission to do the same. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, great. One more. Page 73. I just love throwing these yoga parallels in. Page 73, Francis, will you take that one? It's the second paragraph in this frustration. Hang on 1 second before you start.
This frustration is the client's self-statement, her experience of the push and pull in the process with you. She's showing you exactly what her experience is through recreating it in the process with you. She is doing the best job she can to demonstrate to you what she needs help with.
And I apologize. I mean, obviously we're not reading the whole page, but I'm assuming that you guys read this material. But I just highlighted that piece as bringing in an opportunity to bring in a yoga parallel. Again, what I said earlier, your client is showing you exactly who she is, how she shows up, or he or she. So could you take a moment to draw a parallel to yoga with this information?
Yeah. I think all the postures that we do in yoga show us a lot about what our bodies are going through and what we as people are going through. So I guess one example would be like in half pigeon or something. It's a posture where you're moving into that space of surrender. And so the way people go into it or stay in it is it gives you a lot of information on how we respond to allowing ourselves to release or not allowing ourselves to release. And so watching someone's body language in postures like that, I think, tells us a lot.
It absolutely does. And then it shows you as a teacher where maybe your cues will come from in terms of allowing them to go a little bit deeper if they choose to go there. So, yeah, that's great. So much more of this stuff and not a whole lot of time. We didn't get to discerning the best ways to further the coaching process, but you guys can read through that. We'll tap into that a little bit next time. But right now, we're going to get into our coaching call. And before we do, would someone be able to name the 5 tools of the simple coaching model for us, things that we'll be listening for in the coaching call?
I could, Brandy.
Thank you.
Specify the client's agenda. Useful intervention moments. Shift the perspective. Frame the session and follow up.
Great. So those are the things we're going to be listening for. So if everyone but Brandy and Francis would mute their phones or their computers, ladies, watch your time. Have a great session, and then we'll come back in 15.
Okay. Francis?
Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. So I'm looking forward to our session together today. I wanted to know if your specific questions about our session today, if you've thought about it and what you would like to be working on.
I guess it's kind of related to what I shared with my challenge this week. Just feeling, I guess, the struggle or challenge with the financial aspects. And even though I've kind of built some plans around it, it's just that space of anxiety that keeps coming back and having to remind myself of the abundance that we've all been talking about for this last hour or so. But, just reminding myself, you know, that the universe provides and it's not, like, it's okay. It'll be fine. So I think it's, dealing with that piece of anxiety that keeps coming back, even though all in all, I'm feeling pretty okay about it.
Okay. So it sounds to me that you're feeling a sense of anxiety with financial pressure and that you've been working on setting some plans so you can maybe see it and help you with that anxiety, but you're still somehow experiencing it, the anxiety. And then just to clarify that, that aspect of abundance, how is that? How are you feeling that piece?
I think it's stepping back from the emotional piece of it all and looking at my life as a whole and knowing that, like, I've never been in lack. I've always been provided for. Like, it's always, the universe has always provided. So just using, you know, my life as an example in the past, and seeing that is the case, that I've never been not provided for. So just trusting in that abundance that's always been there.
So it seems like you're working hand in hand with both of these things together, the sense of that there is a sense of anxiety and at the same time you're feeling that the sense of the allowance and trust that hopefully it'll come together, but it sounds like the anxiety is a little bit more prevalent at the moment. Is that true?
Yeah, it comes and goes for sure.
So is this the first time that you've felt this financial anxiety?
First time in a while, I would say.
Okay. So has there been tools in the past that you've used that have helped you release some of the pressure regarding
Nothing that I've really stuck with or that's been nothing too significant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So at this moment, you said that you've written out some plans. Have you been doing that on your own?
Yeah. Just creating some, like, actual budgeting and things like that, which I'm really bad at. So that's, like, important for me just to even budget anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I totally understand. Yeah. And so this sense of being able to maybe release some of this anxiety and would that be something that you'd be willing to work on a little bit today together? Some of this anxiety to let go of that maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wanted to know if maybe you'd be open to some suggestions.
Sure.
On how to help maybe release some of this anxiety. And I'm just
taking it for sure.
From even what you said that, you know, that you feel at the same time that there is this state of uncertainty about the financials, at the same time there is this sense that the universe and there's abundance and there's a sense of that, you know, you've always been provided for is exactly, you know, what I heard you say. So I wanted to know if we can maybe, if you'd be willing to maybe, you know, maybe every day just take a moment and to really allow your body to maybe release some of that sense of anxiety in your own personal practice. If we can maybe spend a few minutes of just really allowing your nervous system to settle and let go of some of that anxiety that you have around the financials, would that be something that you think might be helpful for you?
Yeah.
So are there practices that you know of that help you, like even if it's a five-minute practice daily that you can maybe incorporate that could help you release some of that anxiety? Are there practices that help you settle your nervous system that you know of?
Definitely just like a simple meditation breath practice. usually tends to calm me down, so that could be one thing.
And are you doing that at the moment? Is that part of your daily practice?
I wouldn't say daily, but I use it here and there. But I could definitely make it more consistent, more of a consistent practice.
So, and is there a time that you could possibly devote to that you could see in your schedule, just like a 5-minute daily breathing session and allowing yourself to feel actually that sense of abundance and the sense of letting go of that anxiety and really taking those 5 minutes, really just dedicating to be completely in that state of abundance? And would that be a possibility to, that we could work that into your schedule over this next week?
Yeah, the morning times actually work pretty well. So I could definitely take the 5 minutes in the morning before I get started with my day.
How does that feel for you?
Good.
Thank you.
It feels like,
great.
Yeah.
Good. So maybe if we could, or you could, you know, even write it down. I don't know if you use a phone or a calendar or just a way to track that it's actually possibly taking place every day, and really using that specific time for you to release some of this agitation, anxiety, and feel that abundance and start your day off that way. And really, you know, try to really put that in your time frame. So is that an option?
Mm-hmm. I can.
Like, yeah.
I can write it in a journal or something, yeah.
So how do you feel about this action plan that we'll take until our next session next week?
Great. It
yeah.
feels like I'm taking control of something, so that feels good.
Great. Fabulous. So I really look forward to hearing next week how this meditation breath experience has helped you release some of the financial anxiety. And I look forward to hearing back from you for our session. So is next week the same time a good time to meet?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Great. So fabulous. So I look forward to hearing from you and hearing how your meditation has helped you settle and feel that abundance that you, is, the universe is providing for you. So thank you so much.
So, ladies, I'm going to interrupt here. No, you're good. I want you to keep going for 3 more minutes, please.
Okay. Francis?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, is there anything else that you would like to do you have any other questions regarding our session today? Do you want to, Francis, just tell me again about our plan that we're going to take on, that you're going to take this week to help relieve
sure.
anxiety? Sure.
Sure. So I'm just setting a goal for every day for 5 minutes to meditate and take in that piece of abundance that I feel, and then take a few moments after to write about it and record it down somewhere.
Great. Okay.
Brandy, I'll get you some help here. Ask Frances, what did she find most useful from the session? And or what was her takeaway?
Okay. So Francis, I wanted to ask you what you found most useful in our session here today.
I think it was just beneficial for me to set a daily practice of some sort, just to, something to go back to to take away from that piece of anxiety, or just to not even focus on that as much, but to focus more on that space of abundance and setting a practice each day to do that. So that was good.
Great. I'm so proud that you felt that and that you're willing to take that into your week with you, your every day with you. It's beautiful.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Frances.
All right. Nice. That's good. Let's have everyone else come off mute. Nice job, ladies. And Nicole, would you facilitate our feedback discussion, please?
Sure. First, I wanted to say congratulations because I thought that was an amazing call, and I thought both of you did really well. I was feeling at the beginning that it was quite emotional for Frances, and that she was definitely feeling a struggle and anxiety, and I felt like there was really great reflection going back to her about that, and the softening in the voice, which was really, putting her at ease. And I loved the question, how are you feeling about the abundance, which was a great state of listening, because there was definitely talk of a lot about the struggle, but she did kind of throw away a little bit of the comment of abundance and then immediately was asked what that made her feel like. So I felt like that was a really great question, open-ended question. There was a note that I had here that it was great to reflect that she was still dealing, there was still quite a bit of emotion about anxiety. So working hand in hand with both anxiety and allowance and trust, but asking the question, is anxiety more prevalent for you? Is that true? Is also a great open-ended question because it really got her into, it went a little bit deeper. And then I felt like the aha moment, which was the intervention moment, was really when she had asked about past tools that had been used, and Frances said, no, I don't have any significant tools. And I was like, oh, okay, so she needs maybe some suggestions, and I felt like that's when the shift of perspective came in, and suggestions were made, and I thought that was really, really great very clear at that point that that's where we were going, and let's see, what else do I have here in my notes? And then the framing the session. I thought the framing the session was really great. I think I heard, Sasha, where you mentioned just, I don't know if I heard getting the client's commitment, and maybe that was what you had asked at the very end, what was the takeaway? And then I heard Frances actually saying what the takeaway was. It became much more clear after that question was asked to me. And then the follow-up I thought was good too. So overall, I thought it was a really great session. I was really impressed with both Brandy and Frances. So thank you.
Thanks, Nicole. And thanks for, everyone, then starting with Nicole because she just spoke, just really setting the intention to listen for the tools that we're working on to see if they show up and giving feedback on that, because that's exactly how we grow and get stronger in confidence in our coaching. So thank you for that feedback. I would love for either Olga or Jess to go next and share how you feel that went. Your comments, feedback.
This is Jess. Thank you for letting us witness this coaching session. That was really awesome. And it became really clear some of the tools that we've been talking about, especially, it's interesting, Frances, you talked about the contradictory emotions in the earlier part of our session, because then that seem to come up, the anxiety compared to the abundance, and I know how polarizing that can feel. So I think, Frances, you did a really nice job of exploring those more and focusing more on the sense of abundance and tools to stay with that. One thing that came up that really struck me like a lightning bolt was when Frances said, I'm really bad at budgeting. And she kind of laughed about it and said, oh, I've always been really bad. Or what I remember is, I'm really bad at budgeting. And I thought, wow, that's like this belief that she has that may or may not be feeding the anxiety. So I would have loved to hear about that a little bit more. But I think that the solutions that you guys came up with will help her perhaps change that belief by noticing how on a daily basis she can release anxiety and tap into that abundance. So I really liked that. And I thought the follow-up was really good, asking her about committing to it daily and not just saying it, but actually asking her to write it down or pick a specific time. Like, there was no way to kind of weasel away from the commitment. So I thought that was really great, Brandy.
Thanks, Jess. That's great insight, and I agree with you. There is a pathway there, if taken, around the nervous laughter and around the budgeting. I'm not saying, Frances, I don't know if it was nervous laughter, but a chuckle around it, maybe wanting to do more with it. It's definitely a pathway that could have been explored a little bit more. So I'm really glad to see that you noticed that, Jess. Olga, what are your thoughts?
I think it was a great session, and thank you again for allowing us to listen and learn. I also was thinking about that question with regard to budgeting and maybe asking like a brainstorming question if it was something that she wanted to work on in the session as far as planning for that. However, Randy brought it more to the anxiety, and maybe that would be the planning or brainstorming around planning for budgeting could be used in a second or third session. So, maybe that was a sense. What was felt at the moment was that anxiety more. And for tapping in as to what's coming up. So that was, what was focused on. And I think she did a great job. And, then following up with commitment and asking for the takeaway.
Right. Thank you, Olga. Yeah, and just recognizing and realizing that at the end of the day, it's all intertwined. So whether Frances mm-hmm. comes to the table with abundance, lack of budgeting skills, being overwhelmed financially and emotionally, having anxiety, it's all related. And it's just a matter of what path you want to go down to explore these things so that they can shift. And in 15 minutes, oh my goodness, it's just really, we're not going to come to any major shift in Frances's life, but the practice here is to use these tools and give her something to take away, and that's the brilliance of what you guys are all doing.
Mm-hmm.
Frances, how did that feel for you? What are your thoughts?
That felt really good. Thank you, Brandy, first of all. And I think she just has, I felt really taken care of during the session, and it's just something about her energy that came up, and that just made me feel really heard and understood. Jeff, what you said about the limiting belief with budgeting, that really struck a chord in me too, and I think that definitely would have been another topic to explore. But I did appreciate that Brandy focused more on the abundance / anxiety piece. For me, I think that makes me feel grounded a little bit more, and then I'm able to focus on other things, the more logistical stuff after the emotional pieces under control. So, and I think the daily practice, just taking 5 minutes, it's super doable. So it's not like another overwhelming piece to add to anything. But it was just very manageable time-wise and everything. So, yeah, it was great.
Great. So I'm just going to add on a little bit here because I try to remember everything at the end. It's just, it gets messy. So you're wearing two hats right now, Frances. You're wearing the hat of a client who just was coached, and you're also wearing the hat of the coach in this program. So what would be your decision around as a client in this particular session? If your agenda maybe wasn't clear in the beginning, but yet as you got into the coaching conversation, something struck you, like the budget, but yet your coach decided to take you on a different path, which is helpful, but maybe not what you wanted to talk about. I'm just giving examples. What's within your realm of in being in this relationship? How can you set yourself up to talk about what's resonant for you in that moment?
I think as a client, it would just take me speaking up about it and just saying, you know, actually, this piece speaks more to me. Can we talk more, explore more on this?
Absolutely. And I want you guys to be on both ends of that, okay, to know what it's like to be the client and to really feel strongly if that is your agenda, even if it comes up halfway in, doesn't matter. And as a coach, just being open to having the client interrupt in a way that we talked about earlier and say, and give them space to say, I'd rather go in this direction because it's all about their agenda, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Okay, Brandy, how did you feel your first coaching session?
Yeah, you know, for me, I guess it was weird to do it on the phone, like not knowing Frances's face, and so you're sitting face to face with the clients, and we're just like, oh, where are you? Who are you?
Frances is a sweetheart sitting up in the mountains.
Pardon?
I was just saying, hello? Frances is a sweetheart sitting up in the mountains.
Yeah, I know. It's just, so that was different for me, just not, you know, seeing a face. Yeah, so just the experience of just truly, like, just listening was helpful for me. And then the other thing was just, you know, like with her, I just felt, you know, she was, the main feeling that I was getting was anxiety from her. So that's what I guess I felt like I wanted to help her with that. And she came up with her own tool, right? I asked her, you know, what helped her with her anxiety in the past. And she's like, yeah, sitting and breathing and for 5 minutes. So she sort of just, you know, she came up with her own plan, which is nice. It's just like you just listen and you ask the question, and she came up with her own solution, which is just amazing. Something that would work for her and has worked for her in the past. So it was interesting to watch the process unfold by just asking the right question.
Yeah, that is the beautiful piece about this work. Is really that we have all the answers in us as clients. And we just, if we're matched up and connected with a coach who is strong and committed and has your best intention in mind, I mean, really powerful things can happen. So overall, I thought you did an amazing job. I too agree that your tone is very nurturing and caring and holding the space for Frances. I love that you really tapped into the abundance piece. I would have explored that more. Again, just within this conversation is being held within the restraints of a 15-minute coaching session, okay? But just suggestions. Those are powerful places, you know. What is the abundance? How does it serve her? You know, how is that abundance affecting her anxiety? What shows up more? What are tools that she can use to further the abundance, minimize the anxiety. And these are just merely just examples. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go. And I would, for you, like to see you had a lot of powerful questions in there, but you also had some closed-ended questions in there. And that's just part of our nature in the way that we talk in our lives. So for all of you, not just Brandy, just be really mindful as you move through your life, as you flow through your day, as you're teaching, you know, your classes, your yoga classes, as you're talking to your partner, your friends, your colleagues, whatever. It doesn't always have to be a powerful question, but just observe. And so the more skilled you get at engaging other people, the fewer closed-ended questions. But there, it limits the conversation. So Francis will answer yes or no, and then you have to go in more. So I felt that this particular session, you led her beautifully, but what I would have liked to have seen is Francis doing a little bit more of the talking and coming up with her own answers, because it felt a little bit to me just at times leading her rather than her coming up with it herself. So it's just continued work on powerful questions that will shift it right there. And then finally, for all of you, we're just at the bottom of the hour. What happens if you feel like you've completed the session and you still have time left? Anyone can answer. Sorry, I couldn't hear you. You sound like you're in a tunnel. Can anyone hear her? Hello? No. Okay. We'll get to that piece next time. Is everyone else on the phone but Nicole?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know what happened, but we have to honor the time here. Homework, read pages 133 through 143. And the related articles on page 233 and 237. It's in your syllabus. And please check in with your buddies. Maybe do some practice coaching with them. Check in with your SMART goals. And then I wanted to let you know that I'm leaving for Florida to go study with Sean next week. But it doesn't start until Friday, so I'm a week ahead. Tuesday I'll be here. We'll talk about the following week next Tuesday. I was a week ahead. I was getting so excited for palm trees and sunshine and the beach. But today I'm going to celebrate my birthday, so thank you for your well wishes, everyone. And, yeah, thanks.
Happy birthday. Today your birthday?
It's today, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I cleared my
Happy
schedule
birthday.
For everything except you guys. Yeah. So thank you. And
thank
have a
you.
Great week. Let me know if you need anything, and I'll look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Great. Happy
okay,
birthday.
Sorry,
thank you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.